Managing Victory, you might wonder, why in the world did you choose a name like that? Well, we all know that we're super Christian conquerors. But getting from the place of figuring out what a super Christian conqueror is to actually living it is quite a management experience. And that's what I'm focusing on today. I want to work with your mind, your heart, your life, to get you to the place that you get out of the craziness that you might find yourself in at times, at least mentally, if not even physically, and then to get to that place where you walk as a super Christian conqueror, where you not only feel like you are, but you see that you are in your actions. And in order to do that, I've got several teachings planned. Didn't explain the schedule. The first teaching is going to be in time of need. If you can't recognize need, you can't move ahead in your life. You must be able to recognize need. Need to change, need for healing, need for whatever it is before you can actually get those things taken care of. So in time of need covers how that God will take care of us in all of our needs, but we've got to identify it first, and then we move ahead from there. The second one is going to be out of affliction. So once you understand that you've got some needs, specifically related to becoming a super Christian conqueror, you've got to be able to remove yourself from affliction. Now that's going to be an interesting topic, because all of us are afflicted. At some point, somehow, sometimes we are an afflictor. In fact, I know that that's a problem in any Christian church where people actually pick on other people, and we want to expose that and show the need to get rid of it. So we tie back into the first teaching in time of need, but then we move to remove the affliction. If you're an afflictor, we're going to work to get you to stop afflicting other people. And if you're afflicted, we want to get those afflictions under control. You're not going to stop the afflictions, okay, because the Bible says they're just going to be there. But you can manage them. And then the third one is press into the kingdom of God. And this is going to be pretty interesting to some of you that have never heard this concept. But in order to become one who walks, and I mean really walk the supernatural walk in the kingdom of God, you've got to press. Now, what does press mean? Well, it's very aggressive. Let's put it that way. It's the same word when we get taken away from this earth when Jesus Christ comes back. It's going to be very dramatic. Okay? It's going to be fun. And so, within this, I've got to squeeze, because I've been told I can only do three teachings now. I've got to squeeze love binds affliction. That's something that I've been working on. And it's the agape walk, and this would be a fourth teaching, but now I've just got to squeeze it in with everything. So there's still going to be three teachings, but you're going to hear a lot about love binds affliction. And that is agape bind mental pressure. It subdues it. So if you really want to get your mental pressures under control, you've got to learn about agape. You've got to walk the agape walk. Well, in your syllabus too, you'll notice, and even those of you who dialed in, you should have a copy of the assignments. And these are fun assignments. There's, for in time of need, there's a nifty crossword puzzle. And the words that you're going to be figuring out and putting in the block there are all keywords out of the teaching in time of need. Then you've got one of those, draw a circle around it for out of affliction. So you got to find the words in there. What? A word search, yeah. My son just told me it's a word search, okay. And then a crossword puzzle for press into the kingdom. We're going to be doing those after the teaching as a group. So when we meet in our little fellowship, we'll do that. And then we'll discuss things too. So you guys on the phone line, you can just hang up. You can do those between the teachings if you'd like. And then make sure you call in 1 or 2 minutes before the hour for each next teaching. Okay? So in time of need, turn to Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16. We find a remarkable verse that tells us to come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. If you are not willing to seek help when you have a need, you've already gotten off on the wrong foot. And there are lots and lots of people that believe they've got to do everything on their own. But I'm here to tell you that's not the way life is supposed to be. If you have a need, you're supposed to speak up. Now that doesn't mean you become an aggressor and demand that everybody takes care of your needs, because that's not right either. But if you have a need, you should make your need known. Number one, to God, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. And number two, to other people, if there's somebody around that could help. Maybe there's not anybody around that could help. So it's not going to do much good to speak up. But you don't know that. So if you know people, and if you can speak your need, you should. But especially to God. Galatians chapter 6 is a fantastic chapter, and we're going there now. It deals with this subject in time of need. Identifying, recognizing, and helping not only yourself if you have need, but you helping others. Galatians chapter 6 verse 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. I absolutely love this section in Galatians. It addresses so many things. It addresses abundant sharing. It addresses how to communicate with others. It addresses how to handle burdens. And it teaches people who want to lead others, to help others, how to manage others in need. So it's written in part so that we may know how to manage our problems, our issues. If you are overtaken in a fault, in other words, a problem, you need to find somebody that can help. And I marvel at how seldom people who have needs seek others for help. I marvel at it. But you know the nature of the spiritual battle in which we're in. We're afflicted daily, the word says. The nature of it requires that we have others around us. There's some things you can handle on your own, but there's a lot you can't. And so we have to seek others at times to get the help we need. So if you're overtaken in a fault, you need to find somebody that's spiritual. When I say spiritual, I mean somebody that walks in the supernatural realm. There's not very many people that do that, by the way. But there are some. And there's a difference between talk and walk. And I often like to say, look, let's just cut the chatter and let's get down to business. If I go in and minister to somebody, I usually just walk in, we have a few chatting words, and I grab their hands and get busy. Okay? That's how it works best for me. So you don't want to go to a carnal person, somebody that walks by the five senses, if you have the choice. If you go to somebody carnal, you know you're going to only go so far in life. You know, they're going to give you some good pointers, and that's great, but what about the spiritual? See, when you have a need, the first thing you do is take care of the physical. And then as you start getting the physical in order, then it moves into the mental. And you start taking care of the mental. And of course they bridge. While you're in some part of taking care of the physical, then you start realizing, well, you know, I gotta do something with my thoughts too. And then somewhere along the line, you need to start taking care of the spiritual. So you've got three levels of care that have to be addressed. And you want to get all three addressed. It's the responsibility of the spiritual one to help restore the one overtaken in a fault, in trouble, with meekness. Listen, guys. We're all only human. But we all have that spirit of God in Christ in us. We're all supposed to be super Christian conquerors. So we got to start somewhere. And one of the biggest ways to start somehow would be to recognize if you have a need. You've got to get to that place. And you can't go around being ashamed of it. The devil's going to try to get you to be ashamed of it so that you don't ever talk about it, but that's not how it's supposed to work. There's just supposed to be meekness there from the person helping, and there's supposed to be a willingness from the person needing help, and you talk about it. And that brings up a whole thing on communication. You know, if your communication style is such that you don't let people talk to you, you shut them down. Well, there's not full communication. So you're not going to get anywhere. Full communication is absolutely vital if you're going to go anywhere in your life, especially with the people with whom you associate. You've got to be able to communicate. Now, if somebody's trying to communicate with you and you're shutting them down by anger or frustration or whatever, you might as well just turn around and walk away because it's not going anywhere. There's got to be full communication. You know, husbands and wives go through this all the time. The hubby wants to talk about the budget and the wife's sick of hearing about it. You know? And you guys all know what I'm talking about. So the wife shuts him down because she automatically rolls the eyes and just, not again. And it never goes anywhere. So there's no full communication. That's just a silly example, but it's true. Anytime you want to work with somebody, anytime you want somebody to work with you, there's got to be full communication. You can't just shut them down. If they shut you down, you're not going to be able to talk. Full communication. Recognize it and let it flow so that there's nothing stopping the deliverance. Verse 2. Bear you one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. The law of Christ refers to the law of love. That love being active in the fellowship. And love refers to agape. And agape is a walk with very specific characteristics. And they're listed in 1 Corinthians 13. And I've got them in both of my books, if you don't know what they are. We'll talk about them a little bit. But bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of love that Christ Jesus stood for. And these are burdens. You'll find the word burdens a little bit later too, but the burdens here are the kind that you have to have help with. Okay? Bear you one another's burdens. Well, even the context shows that you're supposed to be working with each other on them. But these are ones that you just can't do alone. And you know what they are. They're things you just can't do alone. You're not getting anywhere with them. You never will unless you have somebody help you. And so we are to bear one another's burdens as we walk in love. We're to help each other, in other words. And that should be the nature of a spiritual person, just to reach out and help. There's just no reason why not to. You just reach out and help. And this is what love or the agape walk is so much about, reaching out and helping others. But it starts with you. If you're not willing to use agape on yourself, you're certainly not going to use it for others. And this is a remarkable position that I've just seen with agape, how that it's not just for my behavior that everybody sees. A lot of people think that. But it's also for how you work with yourself. Are you angry at yourself? You know, it says put away anger. So people think, well, then I shouldn't be angry to somebody else. But hey, what about to you? Are you angry and frustrated and full of guilt and some of that kind of stuff just towards yourself? Or you're not supposed to. You're not having agape towards you. Well, you'll find that people will not generally come up to you if you're not walking with agape. They just won't. I mean, why should they? They don't feel like they could. And the other reason, I guess, would be if they don't need any help. You know, you want to walk with agape. Eventually, though, people reach such a low that they do have to get something. And there's something built in them that actually wakes them up so that they do this thing. And come and seek help. Verse 3. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. Bottom line here, folks, is a person's pride can take him down. And for some reason, people think they know it all. I never understood that. Except when I was a teenager, of course. But by the time I reached 21, I realized I didn't know it all. Now, between 17 and 21, man, I did know it all. And I was talking to somebody, and they said, hey, listen, when your children graduate from high school and right before they go into college, those 3 months, that's when they do know it all. So let them enjoy it. Because as soon as they get into college, that's when they realize, hey, there's something wrong here. Okay? So don't pick on them too much during that summer period there. Just let them enjoy it. They'll figure it out sooner or later. Pride is what takes a person down. It's what knocks a person right out of his seat. But it's also what lifts them up. Now that's a paradigm, isn't it? We just wait for the shift sometimes. It's the responsibility of leadership to help others see if and when pride is present. If you don't identify it and get the person to where they can manage it, you're never going to get anywhere with them anyway. Pride deceives a person and makes them think he's great when he's nothing of the sort. Don't allow yourself to take on more than you know you can handle. And don't allow others to take on more than they can handle. If you get that out of balance, then that can take them out as well. So you help keep the balance in the family if you're one of these spiritual ones that are helping other people in need. But let every man prove his own work in verse 4. And then shall he have rejoiced in himself alone and not in another. Well, that's absolutely wonderful. If a person doesn't get a walk their life, if they don't get to do things on their own without mom and dad always telling them what to do, they're not going to have a joy, a satisfaction of accomplishment. They just won't even understand that. And I think dads figured out first, and then they finally bring moms along when they're raising their kids, maybe just the first one, then it gets better after that. But, you know, you realize, look, and like, I'll let Johnny climb that ladder, you know. I remember when we were kids, I used to have to let the kids climb up the ladder over at the park to the slide. And mom would be going, no, no. And I'm going, oh, yeah, let them go, you know. Well, it's a principle. They got to try something. Even if they did fall, it wouldn't be that bad. Sand and all. They've got to have the opportunity to prove themselves. Spiritually, the same thing is true. You know, a leader has to know how to give the rope out. You know, go ahead. Okay, try it. I'll watch, I'll listen. We're just going to work the thing together. Because it's the rejoicing that eventually comes to bear the payoff. The rejoicing is the payoff. If you guys all had just tremendous rejoicing in your life all day long, how miserable would you be? Well, you wouldn't be. You'd be ecstatic. It'd be a fabulous life. And so when and where you don't have the payoff of rejoicing, you're not proving anything. Maybe you're riding on the coattail of somebody else. But you're not proving anything in your own walk. You want to get some rejoicing, you got to start some proving. There's no rejoicing in standing or riding along on somebody else's coattail. And then verse 5, for every man shall bear his own burden. Well, eventually you get to the place where you can manage your life, hence managing victory. You get to the place where you can actually handle a lot of these things in your life yourself. But there will be some where you still need help on. The word burden here is the word that refers to burdens that only you could bear. Marriage is a great example. There's some things that you can get help on, and there's other things that you guys have to work on yourself. Okay? These are a totally different sort than the ones mentioned earlier. And so, there's some examples, like for instance, if you get in trouble. If you do something that's wrong, you get in trouble. Let's say it's a legal situation where you end up going to jail. Well, you don't have to go to jail. Okay? Nobody's gonna go to jail for you. You know? The princess, the little boys in the, mom and dad's king and queen, they used to have whipping boys. So the prince wouldn't have to take a spanking, but the whipping boy would, you know. Well, we don't have whipping boys here, okay? If you do something that requires you paying the consequences, you're going to have to pay them. Alright? They're burdens that only you could bear. That's just one example. There's other things that you must tend to in your life that only you could tend to. Now, you might not want to do them. You might not want to be responsible financially, or you might not want to be responsible when your parents or your boss says, hey, look, these are the rules, this is how it's got to be done, okay? But you got to do them. Right? That's bearing things only you could bear, too. It just wouldn't be possible for others to take on your thing. Cleaning. You know, you keep your drawers clean. And this is a simple thing. Of course, it's deeper than that at times. Eventually, you get to the point where you're strong and able to manage your own life, especially in your Christian walk. Verse 6, let him that's taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. It is vital that open and honest communication exists between the teacher and the learner. You know, in high school, when you're in grades 1 through 12, you're in a teaching environment, okay? You're not really in a learning environment. You're sitting there and your teachers are just teaching you. You get a little involved, but not much. And in fact, the older you get, the more you try to stay away. Anyway, once you get into college, that changes. You're no longer in a teaching environment. You go to a learning environment. And the learning environment in a good school is where the professor, he goes over some things and then he gives you, stacks of assignments that you've got to have done before the next class. And you have to go to the library for 10 hours. That's learning. So you transition from a teaching to a learning environment. And this is really important when you're working with somebody to help you or you're helping somebody else. You've got to have that teacher and learner. So there's got to be active participation, and this is where the full communication comes in. If you don't have full communication, folks, you're going nowhere. Absolutely nowhere. And communication is far more than just speaking one's thought. This also refers to abundant sharing. It's important that each receiving member of the body abundantly share. It's God's will. So, there's a couple different facets to understand about full communication. Don't shut people down. If you're one of these that shut them down because you're angry, or you've got stuff boiling on the inside, you gotta knock it off. You just gotta get rid of it. There's no sense in it. And if you're one of these that won't talk, you've gotta learn to talk. You gotta put your fears to the side. And both of you, or whoever's in that communication situation, need to learn how to communicate fully. Let people talk. Let it work. And then, of course, abundant sharing. Verse 7, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. There are three ways to mock God. You can spit at a person. You can slap his face, or you can push your nose up at him. You see that in the cartoons, right? person knows God. That's the worst one. Okay? And that's what's being referred to here. If you don't follow God's rules regarding burden sharing and abundant sharing, you are snubbing your nose up at God. You are mocking His word. Well, how does this come to bear? In what a person reaps. There you have it. In what a person reaps. You reap what you sow. So if you don't like what you're reaping, look at what you're sowing. And sowing, in part, refers to abundant sharing. It also follows on the heels of helping somebody with need. You know, the helping one in trouble that we just read about? Maybe you are abundantly sharing, but you're not helping anyone at the same time. Okay, I'm not saying your abundant sharing doesn't help. I'm saying you're not involved helping people with needs. You know, they need to talk. They need to get some things sorted out in their life. You're not helping them. There must be a balance in your giving lifestyle. Kids, adults, everybody, there's got to be a balance. Verse 8, for he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. It's not going to be anything worth shouting about. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. There comes a time in every Christian's life when he must become spiritually active. Listen to that. There comes a time in every Christian's life where he must become, or when he must become spiritually active. The fleshly or carnal Christian won't become spiritually active. The supernatural Christian will. His sowing ends up with eternal reaping. Eternal reaping. Carnal Christians are a drag on the movement of the body of Christ. They're like weights. That is not how God intended the body to be. Carnal Christians are like drag on the movement of the body of Christ. Verse 9, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. That's a beautiful verse. We shall reap if we faint not. In time of need, realize that you can play a part in somebody's life. And if you need help, get it. Somebody else can play a part. And don't be bashful. Don't be aggressive either. I've seen that. Just say it. Look, I got a need here. Can we talk for a few minutes? But you don't want to be one of these people that always have needs. I mean, somewhere along the line, you got to grow. And if you're not growing, why aren't you growing? Well, you're not reaping because you're not sowing the right stuff. See how it works? It's all right there. So in time of need, realize that you do have a part to play. A part in which you must give, and even a part in which you might need to seek help. No matter the case, don't allow yourself to become weary. That's going to be a trick the devil tries to play on you. Hey, don't get weary. Well, who's weary? I don't know. I don't know weary. Don't get weary. Just say, I don't know. And why is that? For in due season, you shall reap. Just don't faint. Your fainting is not going to get rid of the reaping, by the way. You're going to reap if you give. But don't reap because you're going, or don't get weary, I'm sorry. Don't get weary because one day you're going to reap. It's an eternal truth. Fainting won't prevent you from receiving, but it will block your understanding and realization of what is soon to come. Verse 10, As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. No matter what your situation is, you must give. Everybody has a household. Everybody belongs to some kind of household. Christian or not. You got your little household of friends. You got your little household of workers. You got your little family household. You've got your church household. Everybody belongs to some kind of household. We all make our own choices. And this is a really important fact. You have chosen everything to this day in your life. It doesn't matter what it is. And you have an abundance of choices no matter what direction you decide to take in your life. You are where you choose. Either directly or indirectly, nonetheless, you are where you choose. And that's just a fact. If you don't like where you are, choose something different. Make your choices. Make your choices. Give to all men, but especially to them who are of the household of faith. And that's how you'll be helping others in time of need.